This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Before I introduce this episode, I just want to let you know that I've just started a new Facebook group and you are invited. I would absolutely love you to join it. It's called the Product Creators Club and it's for all product creators and makers. You'll find a link to the group in the show notes, or you can also search Product Creators Club on Facebook. So today I'm speaking to Priffy Brinkley. Priffy creates accessible fine art, limited edition digital prints in a variety of sizes and finishes. So Priffy actually started off offering photography services, so she's a photographer as well. And she speaks in this episode about how the start of lockdown in March 2020 prompted her to rethink what she was offering. Priffy then shares the process of taking some of her favourite prints and turning them into art that's ready for others to buy and hang up on their walls. This is a really fascinating conversation. I don't know much about the world of art, it's fair to say, and it was fascinating to me, sort of everything that goes into it and how much detail Priffy's got into and how much she thinks about to create just a wonderful product that people can just buy and it's just ready to hang up and look beautiful in their homes. So I really hope you enjoyed this conversation as always, and now I would love to introduce you to Priffy. So hi Priffy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So let's start by you give an introduction to you, your business and the products that you sell, please.
Yes, of course. So my name is Priffy Brinkley and I am a London-based photographer. I specialise in the creation and selling of fine art limited edition prints, which is something that I do alongside being a day-to-day photographer for branding, for different types of businesses, really. So I kind of offer a product and also a service within my photography business.
Oh, that's really interesting. We'll definitely talk about that a bit more later on. But if you're okay, let's start right at the beginning. Can you tell me a bit of background, sort of how you got into photography in the first place? Should we start there?
Of course, yeah. I mean, my love for art and anything creative really started from when I was a young girl. And that's kind of continued on, you know, through school and everything else. But I didn't really follow a path down that avenue, just because I think, much like many other people, they kind of go towards the academics rather than the creative side of, you know, careers. And that's what I ended up doing. So I was in IT. Project management for quite a long time, and when I had my daughter, actually just before I had my daughter, I was made redundant from the job that I had, and I soon realized that the work-life balance that I had prior to being pregnant was really muddled. Really, there was no work-life balance. It was pretty intense, the job that I was doing, and I soon realized that wasn't sustainable, especially with my husband's job being very demanding as well. So I decided to just kind of leap in to my hobby and my passion, which was photography, for a very long time. I invested in a really good camera and just kind of started really slowly. It took a long time for me to get to where I am now. I think I just needed a bit more of a push and some encouragement, but I started off being a family photographer and, you know, photographing mainly like birthday parties and babies and all, you know, families and all that kind of thing. And then COVID came along and everything went to a grinding halt. And that's actually when my print business was born. And I then started to look at branding photography instead, because I started to get requests from people that I knew about potentially photographing their products and doing some for them. So that's more now. So I've kind of left the family photography behind, and I'm now more focused on branding and the prints. So I've got a mixture of archive prints, which I sell, along with some new ones that I'm creating as well for a new series. So I've waffled on a lot there. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's really good. Thank you. And I just want to apologise for my dog barking in the background as well. I'm not sure if anyone else picked that up. I didn't actually realise he was here till he started barking, but that's life for you. So I'm really sorry about that.
That's
so thank
right.
you for all of, I didn't realise that you'd started selling your prints so recently, actually. So we're recording now in September, so really sort of 18 months ago. And I don't know if this is a silly question, but were they shots you were taking specifically with the aim of, I could sell these, or were you looking at sort of photos you'd already taken? So what I'm trying to say is, were you sort of planning to do that? Did you have shots already that you thought, oh, actually, I could probably sell these? Or were you taking shots with the view to selling them as prints, if that makes sense?
Yeah, sure. No, that's not a silly question at all. So it was actually June last year that I started the print business. And I've got hundreds and hundreds of photos that I've taken from various places around the world. I've been very fortunate to have been able to travel quite a lot. So and people used to look at my photos and say, they're really, really good. Why don't you sell them? Why don't you do something with them? And I guess it was a question of confidence. I never really thought that they would sell, or that, you know, that was even a possibility. So I've got so many images from like very remote places like Antarctica, where else, like Machu Picchu and, you know, Japan and places like this. It was some really, really lovely photos that I've never really done anything with. And those are the ones that I've kind of put onto my website and decided to sell as a first kind of series. And then there's some new ones that I'm working on as well at the moment. So now it's a completely different kind of frame of mind for me, because I have to now look at, okay, I'm going to sell these. I need to really figure out what I want, how I want to take these images and how I want to edit them and what to do with them, really. So it's a completely different scenario. Whereas before, it was I had the freedom to just shoot whatever I wanted. And then if I liked it afterwards, I'd think, okay, yeah, I can sell that. So it's really just a mixture of those things.
Yeah, thank you for answering that, because I know, I'm not sure if it was a silly question or not, but so it sounds like you were in a position where, I guess, the branding work and the family photography sort of wasn't happening with all the various lockdowns. Was that when the idea came about of selling prints that you know of shots you already had?
It did, yes, exactly, because my work stopped and we weren't able to photograph large groups or anything like that. I know that some photographers found their way around this, but I really just started to look at all of the archive images I have. I've literally got thousands, and I was going through them, I think, as everybody did in lockdown. They just kind of looked inward, because there wasn't much happening in the outside world. So people were just kind of fixing up their houses or doing things. And I think this kind of started because we were looking at just printing some out to put in our own home. And I thought, you know what, why not just give it a go? I've thought about it before, and why not just give it a go now? Because what I was doing before with the family photography isn't happening. What have I got to lose? So I just really just went for it.
Yeah, that's great. And I think you're right that it is probably also sort of seeing images like yours, which I've taken a look off of, these really far away places, must be really inspiring for people as well at a time when we were all sort of in our homes and not being able to go anywhere. I think sort of, inspiring images like that are kind of what people like to see as well.
Yeah, hopefully. I guess that's kind of the idea, is that, especially with the Antarctica images, which are the ones that I put up a lot on social media and also on my website, and also being represented through a gallery at the moment, is that, the whole idea with that is that there's not many people that get to travel there. It's quite expensive to go, and you need a lot of time out. to actually visit because of the amount of travel time that it takes. So, you know, the idea was that if people don't, well, if first of all, they might not want to go, they might pick Maldives over Antarctica. So why would they want to go there in the first place? But I guess it's more a case of, well, this is a place that I probably will never go in my life. But I like penguins, for instance. You know, I'd love to have some images of some penguins in my house or a shipwreck or some birds or whatever, you know, the kind of species that live around there. It's really just kind of connection to a very far away place, like you say.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And let's talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about logistics or sort of how you actually do this. I'm quite interested in logistics. So Do you have to find somebody who can sort of produce your prints for you? Because I'm assuming you sell them as prints rather than as downloads. So how does that work?
But the actual production places in Germany, but I liaise with the office that's based in London. So it's a fantastic studio, and they do different types of printing paper depending on the image, so it's all kind of customized so that I have the best type of printing paper for the image itself. So if it's a black and white photo, for instance, it will go in a certain type of Fujifilm paper, and if it's a colored photo, then it might be recommended that it be printed onto something else. Excuse me. So yeah, it's printed, but I also, the way that I'm selling my images at the moment is framed. So they're printed on paper and then they sit under really beautiful glossy acrylic glass, and then they're put within a floater frame, which is made of solid oak, and it can come in various colours as well. So it's really kind of, it's all kind of done for you, really, because I know that many people have the issue of, well, I really like this photo, I like this print, but now I have to go out and buy a frame, and, you know, I don't necessarily know how to choose a frame, or I don't know where to go to get one, and, you know, the additional cost of all that kind of thing, whereas I provide that all in one. And so it's already done, and it also comes with hooks at the back, so it's literally just ready to hang. All you need to do is grab a hammer and a few nails and just stick it into a wall, really, because it's even got a hanging piece on there. So it's a really great studio, actually. I used them before I started my print business, and I'm really, really happy with the work that they do. It's really high quality and really durable, and you can tell that it's long-lasting as well. So yeah, they're a brilliant studio. So everything's manufactured in Germany, and then it can be shipped out to wherever, really.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it sounds like you did such a great job of finding someone really good, because as you say, your art is beautiful, and so it needs to be presented correctly. And it's fantastic you offer that service, because, I mean, I know as well that actually you can buy a really nice print of something and you can buy a really nice frame, but actually it sounds really daft perhaps, but putting something in a frame in a way that it looks good isn't as easy as it sounds, is it, to frame something nicely? I think there is a bit of a skill to it. I don't have that. So I think that's really good that the customer gets like the finished piece, as you say, just ready to hang.
Yeah, exactly. Because what I tend to do is look for the colours within the image itself to choose the frame. And then it's not always easy to find that frame on the high street or online. It can be quite tough. So I think that's why I like to provide the customer with the finished option. And then we can actually tweak a few things, like the colour of the frame, for instance, if they wanted something very specific. So it's really just an all-in-one. Like you can even buy it as a gift if you wanted to, or you can buy it for yourself. Or, you know, some of my prints would fit really well in hospitality space, like a restaurant or a hotel, is what I'm being told at the moment. But yeah, it's all kind of just done for you. And that's really thanks to the studio that I use. So they've done a really fantastic job at manufacturing everything that I've sent their way.
Oh, but I do, and that's fantastic. And I think it's great that you are able to offer that option, because, like, I think there are so many things when it comes to buying art, I think there are so many things that can trip you up, like not knowing how to frame it or where to get the frame, you know, all of these things. Yeah. I think it's fantastic that you can, and that you can be so flexible as well. If someone says, actually, no, I don't want that frame, I want a different colour or whatever. It sounds like you spend a lot of time as well, sort of choosing the right paper and the right frames to go with each print as well.
Yes, exactly. Because it all really comes down to, I mean, my prints are not cheap. I'm quite happy to admit that, but that's because of the whole process that goes behind, you know, first of all, from taking the image and then to like actually editing it, that can sometimes take me a really, really long time to do. But then, as you say, selecting the right type of paper and the acrylic that goes over the top, and then the floater frame and all that kind of thing, really. And then, you know, the shipping accounts for that as well. The fact that we can have it shipped from Germany to America, for example, or, you know, anywhere in Europe is really, you know, the flexibility is there within the price. So, yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
And so where are you selling your prints at the moment?
So at the moment, I'm selling them through my website, and that's something that I've just recently started because I'm still actually working on my website. It's under construction, but I've got a basic thing there with a shop and all that kind of stuff. So the prints are now available in the shop on the website. And I'm also selling through Podomo Gallery, which is a America-based gallery. An online gallery as well. They're based in Miami, but they're very much established, and they sell artwork, and they target Northern America mainly. But I believe you can have it shipped again from, you know, if you wanted to make a purchase from Europe through them, you could have it shipped wherever you wanted to as well. So it's not an issue really. But so yeah, it's the gallery and my website at the moment.
Okay, thank you. And so when you first started selling these prints, so just over a year ago, so what were you doing to sort of promote the fact that you had products to sell? Because obviously previously you'd been offering services that people might have known you as a family photographer or a branding photographer. So how did you make the switch to selling your prints?
So I started with Etsy, actually, because it was more... It was more of a let's see what happens here kind of a situation that I put myself in. And I just put a few on Etsy. I made a few sales. And then I kind of left it for a while because I think we then went into two more lockdowns after that. And I really wasn't intending for that to happen. I don't think anybody imagined that we would go through three lockdowns. I think after the first one, we really thought that that was the end of it. So, then when everything locked down again, I did get slightly demotivated, and I did leave it for a little while. And then I really kind of put some momentum into it around March this year. I started to contact galleries, and I started to look at various different avenues. And luckily I found the gallery that I'm with now. And they wanted to sell my work through their platform, which has been really, really great. It's been a huge blessing. But I really just use social media to promote myself. Being a new business and trying something new, obviously you don't have a huge amount of funding to begin with. So I worked on setting up my website and mainly using Instagram and Facebook to promote myself. And then more recently, LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, and I can see that tools such as LinkedIn and Instagram has worked really well for you, because obviously what you do is so visual. And so I can see that social media has worked really well. I think what you said about just starting off on Etsy and seeing how it goes is actually a really good approach, because obviously to get started on Etsy doesn't cost very much. It's fairly, I don't want to say it's easy, because I know that, you know, you need to put work into getting it right. And I know that sort of the Etsy sellers spend a lot of time making sure their listings are optimized and things like that. But I think as an entry place, it sounds really sensible just to see, you know, and if they sell there, presumably then you can think, okay, well, if they're going to sell on Etsy, they'd sell somewhere else. And that definitely makes more sense to me than sort of, you know, spending a lot of time and money on a website or something bespoke before knowing if they're going to take off.
Exactly. And I think for small businesses, Etsy is brilliant. It really provides a platform for anyone who doesn't have a huge startup investment. And you can just, like you say, just try it out and see what happens. I think because many of us do rely on social media to promote ourselves. And Etsy, I think it can be quite difficult to find items as well, unless you're searching for something very specific. But, you know, so it's quite a competitive platform. But on the other side of it, like you say, it's really great. It's a really good tool to start with.
That's good to know. And did you have to invest on any advertising on Etsy or anything like that, or did your listings sell without having to do that?
I didn't invest in any advertising, no. I've sold a few pieces, not many. Some of that was through promoting it myself through social media, and then they would go to the Etsy shop from finding my work on social media, or whether that be through family and friends and recommendations. I think there's quite a lot on Etsy, so you won't always come up in people's searches. You have to try and get to the top if you can. And also utilize the hashtags and all that kind of thing on Etsy too. So it was quite tough, but like you mentioned before, it's really cheap to list items on there. So it's definitely worthwhile trying that to begin with.
Yeah, thank you. And I hope you don't mind me asking that. I was just really trying to get a sense, because I know on some other marketplaces, unless you do advertising, you don't actually stand much of a chance initially. So I work with a lot of Amazon sellers, for example, and on Amazon, unless you're prepared to put a bit of money behind it at the start, it can be really, really hard to get going, unfortunately. So it's good to know that you know, Etsy might not be the same if your product is one that can be sold on Etsy. It's good to know that it can be maybe a bit easier to get started. And when I say easier, I know like a lot of work goes into it, but it's good to know that, you know, you don't necessarily have to spend lots of money on ads to get those first sales.
No, I mean, like, you know, what we're lucky with as well is that we have free social media platforms that we can use and use those for advertising or marketing instead, where they're a bit cheaper. Where you can roll out an ad, for example, on Facebook, it might just work a bit better for smaller businesses.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then obviously you can, if you wanted to, you can do Facebook ads, go into your Etsy store, go into your website or wherever you wanted to, but you wouldn't necessarily, if you were selling on Amazon, want to do a Facebook ad sort of going there.
Yeah, sure, totally.
So now you're selling some products as well as this, are you offering the services again? So are you doing the photography that you were doing previously?
So I'm not doing the family photography as much. I've done one shoot this year for a family, but I am more focused on the business branding side. I'm finding that there's demand in that area. So I'm just going to stick with it. And actually, I really, really enjoy it. It's really great to meet other small business owners and really kind of find out about their brand stories and why they started their business, and really help to tell that story through the photography. It's not always just kind of formal, straightforward headshots. It can be about the products as well as the kind of business owner within the products. I just find it really, really interesting and really fun, actually. I think without that side of my business, I think I would probably find just a print business on its own a little bit boring, only because there's, you know, you're just kind of stuck with working by yourself a lot of the time, and there's not that interaction with other people. And if you're used to that, it can be really, really hard being a business owner of your own, just working on your own and, you know, creating and selling products. And I think that's why I've stuck with the services side, because it really enables me to get out there and meet people and still kind of, and, you know, you're always learning as well. When you're meeting other people, you're still always learning about your offerings and your business, as well as other people's businesses. And it's also a great opportunity to network. So I don't foresee myself ever stopping that side of it.
Yeah,
family was a great combination.
I think that makes total sense, and especially as if you love what you're doing. And I think with selling the prints as well, I guess it could also, you know, there's probably not, I'm not saying it's easy to sell products or there's nothing to do to sell products, but I think on a day-to-day basis, like you say, you don't have the same interactions with other people. It's not the same, is it? As sort of doing as offering a service where you get out and you meet people and speak to people and you have different things going on. I think just solely selling the products, might, as you say, might not be as fulfilling.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's both aspects of the business are really, really interesting in their own right. But I still very much like meeting people and seeing people And just, you know, getting behind the camera, because a lot of my print shots are taken abroad or in different places. Some are taken in the UK, but a lot of them, or a lot of my inspiration and my motivation comes from going to new places and other countries. So I think this really enables me to get out and shoot for other people, really, and do it for them and give them photos that they're really happy with as well. So yeah, it's really nice actually to be able to do that.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to be putting you on the spot a little bit of this question, and I'm really sorry to do that, but I can't help myself, because you did mention that, you know, you also take some product shots as well as when it's part of the branding. Is there any advice you would give people when they're photographing their products or arranging to photos of their products? I really hope you don't mind me asking, but I couldn't resist.
That's okay. You mean when they're taking photos of their products themselves?
Yeah, or maybe if they're asking somebody else to do it, because I think that it's, product photography is so difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's nice to have the photos of your product, like on a white backdrop, for example. But beyond that, I think it can be really hard to you know, for people to visualize how to get great shots of their products and what they're offering.
Yeah, sure. So what I often tell my clients is to think about what, you know, what words best describe your business. Three or four words that best describe it, you know, and it, let's say, for example, you've got a business where you create dresses. So it might be something like fun, vibrant, colourful, comfortable, maybe. And then, you know, that really kind of gives us a good foundation to what kind of images we want to create. So, you know, does vibrant and colourful really fit in with just a very neutral background, or do we want lots of colour in there? I would definitely say it's always worth thinking about what your business represents and, you know, how you would describe it to somebody else, because we can always use that to create, you know, whether you want fun photos or whether you want just very simple, minimalistic, formal photos. I think you really should consider that before taking photos. So, I mean, you might just want to take a single image, single photo of one product on its own. It might be a candle, for example. So white background might work really well because what you're selling is the candle. But if you're selling a line of clothing, for example, it might not work so well. Maybe this particular line of clothing would work really well being photographed outside, or maybe it'd work really well being photographed in a wardrobe, for example. So I think those kinds of things really kind of give you some ideas to work with. And if, you know, a good photographer should be able to help you to come up with something as well.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And thank you so much for answering that, because I know you didn't realize that was coming up, but I didn't know it was coming up either. I didn't know I was going to ask you that until you mentioned the product photography. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey and talking to us about your products and your business. The final question that I ask everybody who comes on is, what would your number one piece of advice be for anyone looking to do something similar?
So I would say really take the time to research and you know, gather samples and really think about what it is that you want to produce. So when I started out, I wasn't just looking at just printing photos. I started to meet other people who sell products, and I thought about putting my prints onto like candles or books, for example. And I really got a little bit lost, if I'm completely honest. And I didn't actually realize how much time it takes to actually figure out what it is that you want to do, unless it's super, super clear from the beginning about what you want to sell, whether that be just one product or two single products, that's it. I think you can get a little bit lost. So it's really worth speaking to manufacturers or studios, whatever it may be, get as many samples as you can, and really take time to like look at quality and what it is that you want to do, and just really stick with that and make sure you have the best quality. Because I mean, at the end of the day, you do want to stand out from your competitors, and you do want to make sure that your customers buy the best possible thing that they can from you. And, you know, it does take time. I think for me, it took around 5 or 6 months And I didn't actually estimate that in my business. I thought I was just going to hit the ground running and that would be it when I started. But it's the reality is not that at all. I think people just need to be prepared for that. It does take time. But once you get there, it's great. It's really good fun. Then you know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Thank you so much for that. And you're right. It can be really fun and really fulfilling. But yeah, that beginning bit where you're figuring it all out, I think it is easy to underestimate how much work goes in to getting it right if you want to have a great product. And you've talked already about the time you take selecting the paper and the frames, and all that takes time. And I guess now you've probably got it down to where you know what you're looking for example, in a frame or a glass. But at the outset, I think it's fair to say most of us just don't know all of that, and it does take quite a lot of research, doesn't it? And sort of figuring out all the options and working out what's best. And I think that you've made a great point that you can easily underestimate how long that takes.
Yeah, and then when you underestimate, it can get a bit frustrating as well, because you thought that you'd be further than you are at the moment. But you know, I think it's a requirement for every business, really. Everyone needs to do it. So it's, it's just one of those things, I guess.
Yeah. And was your initial vision then that you, rather than selling prints, you'd be selling your images printed onto other items? Was that the plan initially?
I think it was prints as well as the prints printed onto other items. That's the idea that I had, I think, because I saw lots of other businesses doing that and I thought that I would need to do it to compete. But actually, that's not what I needed to be doing. I think what I'm doing now, which is more the fine art side of it, is definitely where I needed to be. But it took me a while to figure that out. But you know, I think it does for everyone. Sometimes it's worth going through the journey just to kind of get to the point that you're at now. And I think that's what business is for lots of people, is a journey, isn't it? It's so much learning at the beginning and throughout. I think the difference is you just kind of become a bit more equipped as you go along.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it takes a while as well. I think ruling things out as well as in is also a good, as you say, good thing to do, because you kind of then you're sort of really clear on what it is that you do want once you've sort of disregarded all the things that maybe won't work. Because I think it's easy when you start any business to have all these big ideas and plans and you're going to do all of the things. And particularly, as you said, if you see other people doing it, because there can be a perception that, well, they must be doing it for a reason. If they're doing it and I want to compete, I need to do that. But actually, the more people, you know, I do these kind of interviews with and I speak to, I think that there's a lot to be said for doing your own thing, regardless of what everyone else is doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's one advantage of being a business owner and kind of stepping away from the corporate world, is that you do what you really, really love to do. Otherwise, you know, you're selling yourself short and it's probably not going to work out anyway, because you won't end up enjoying it because you're not being true to what you really want to do. So, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think especially when you're doing something creative as you are, that it needs to be you and yours, and like you said, it needs to reflect, you know, like you were saying, how, you know, what you're producing is fine art and the products need to reflect that, because that's what they are. So yeah, that makes sense. Well, thank you so much again for all that you've shared today. I've absolutely loved speaking with you, and I will put the link to your website and your social media platforms in the show notes. Everyone can come along and take a look at your prints and imagine being in faraway places.
Well, thank you so much, Vicky. Thank you for having me. It's been a really, real, really nice experience to chat to you on my first podcast. So thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. Hi, thank you so much for listening. As always, I would absolutely love to know what you thought of this episode. Please do remember to rate and review the show, and also, most importantly, subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And as a reminder, I release a new episode every single Friday. So take care and look forward to speaking to you again then. Hi, this is just a little note. Say if you've enjoyed this episode or indeed any of the episodes and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.